Joshua chapter 10, we're continuing to look at the prayer life of Joshua. We see that he did make some mistakes, we all do. But we see that of his two mistakes that he made, that really there were failures to pray. He didn't get God's wisdom, God's guidance. He stepped forward and made a decision and then found out too late that it was the wrong one. And so that gives us pause, gets us to realize how much we need God's direction. We're not to lean into our own understanding. But we see that once he learned this mistake, that he didn't make it again. And we see the faith that he had in his prayers, and just that the Lord blessed him. So we see in John chapter 10, verse 8, and of course you have all these kings coming against them, actually going against the Gibeonites, and then they get drawn into it. But we see God speaks to him and directs him, and says, verse 8, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand, there shall not a man of them stand before thee. So he has this assurance from the Lord that the Lord would be with them, and we see that verse 10, the Lord discomfited them before Israel, slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon, smote them unto Azekah and unto Makkedah. It came to pass as they were fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. There were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. And then we see a prayer of Joshua, an incredible prayer, and that he asks for what is clearly impossible, but we find that he asks and the Lord gives it unto him. We're reminded of the verse, in, I believe it's in Jeremiah, where it's, call to me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And we see verse 12, then spake Joshua the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And so we see that the Lord worked in the universe itself to extend the day so that they might be able to get complete victory upon their enemies. And there is a day, not a day like it before or after, that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And we think of that, how God was with them, God blessed them, and that he asked this prayer and God answers. So then we see Joshua chapter 11 after this victory, and they went up against others. These ones were in the north, and we see God speaks again. Verse 6, the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hew their horses and burn their chariots with fire. And we see in this God reassuring him, but we see God's direction with it, that they're going to defeat them, but he wants them to go through and hew or hamstring all their horses and burn their chariots with fire. And you think, well, why would he do that? Well, the reason was is he wanted them to trust in God alone for their defense, that they didn't need horses and chariots, that God himself could deliver them, God could give them victory. And he'd already been demonstrating that amply, that he could use hailstones or any number of things to bring victory. And so we see God directed, and we see, and Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade them. He hewed their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. We think of it with Saul in comparison of how God had given him specific directions with the Amalekites, and he didn't follow them to the letter. He kind of did what he thought was close enough, and it was because of that he was rejected. Finally, he's rejected as king. But we see with Joshua that it was different. Verse 15 of that same chapter says, "As the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses." And we see that with Joshua's simplicity of God commands, he obeys it to the letter. Doesn't lean into his own understanding in it at all, that he is an obedient servant. And that's what we recognize as well. That if we're to have a strong prayer life, if we're to have a relationship with God, then it must be that he commands and we obey, that's the relationship that we are to have, that our relationship will not be strong if he's directing and we're not heeding what he has to say. And so we see that with Joshua. And we see Joshua chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "Now Joshua is old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." That God was showing him that even though he was getting on in years, like we think him, if we think him and Caleb to be about the same age, he's getting to be in his 80s. But yet there was much to do, and there was much that remained. And it's certainly something that we recognize, that sometimes we find a position of, well, that's good enough. Sort of we tend to plateau. We think, well, this is sufficient. But the Lord says, well, there's much more to be possessed. And we think of it in these terms of our own life, that we can have victory in different areas of our lives, become more like Christ in different areas. But then there's other things that we don't think about, we don't really realize they're that big a deal, or we figure, well, I just have to deal with this for the rest of my life. And the Lord's saying, no, there's much land to be possessed. He wants us to have victory in those areas too. And we can rest upon the victories we've had, but there's still more to occur. And if we go forward in faith, we'll see God give us the victory. So then we see that he divides out the land to the children of Israel. He guides them in all of that. And we see as it gets towards the end of his life that he speaks to the children of Israel. He's giving them warning. In Joshua chapter 23, that he calls all Israel together. And promises them God that will be with them. And he says, verse 6, "Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, that these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you." And he says, "Take good heed thereof, therefore unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God." And giving them the principles that they needed to not intermarry or get anywhere close to these nations, that they were to destroy them. And if they did not, that they would be snares and traps to them. They would be a burden to them and a nuisance, and so they needed to do that. And he says, verse 14, "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls, and not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof." And so we see that he gives testimony of God's faithfulness, that God keeps His word. But He does it both in the positive way and the negative way, that he tells them that just as all the good things that came upon, which the Lord promised you, that the Lord will bring all the evil things that He promised too if they failed to follow Him. And so they needed to be wise, and they needed to be faithful to the one that was faithful to them. And so then we see Joshua 24, he speaks to them one final time before he passes on, and he challenges the people. He says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood are the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And this is probably the verse spoken by Joshua that's the most well known. And we see with it that he's going to lead by example. He's going to lead his family and guide them so that they would be an example. And that's what we need to have, that thought that regardless of what anyone else does, we need to serve the Lord ourselves. We need to live the way that we ought. Everyone needs to make a choice, and we need to make the right choice and set an example in that way. And we can testify that with Joshua, that in a lot of different things that he set the example. Of prayer, of faith, that just from the beginning of his life, where there's so many doubters saying, "Well, we can't possess the land, there's too many giants," and him and Caleb said, "No, through God we're well able to possess the land." And through all of Joshua we see of how the Lord would direct him, and he would do what the Lord said, and he would get victory. So may the Lord help us so we can learn from His example and seek that victory that we can have through our Lord Jesus Christ.